All right, so I want to invite you to join me in a 3-day challenge that's starting on September 9th. So very, very soon. This 3-day challenge, activate your feminine energy, receive abundance in your business and life, is going to walk you through 3 easily applied techniques and ignite your feminine energy so that you can then open up and receive the abundance in all forms that you desire. In this challenge, we're going to cover why this natural superpower that every single one of you already has is vital to grow your business and magnetize what it is that you want in your life. I'm also going to be talking about why you might be overlooking this powerful form of energy. The reality is that not that many people are talking about this or teaching it, and especially how to connect it with your business. So if you want to build a sustainable, successful business that you are in for the long haul, then this is the challenge for you. Go to thefemininecollective.co/challenge to sign up. Again, thefemininecollective.co/challenge. You want to get your name in there. You want to come into the Feminine Collective Facebook group where I will be hosting all of them, and I will see you next Monday, September 9th, and we will get started. Welcome to the Soul of Business. My name is Heidi Stevens, and I'm a coach for women entrepreneurs just like you. My intention for this podcast is to share tools and techniques that I've found invaluable as I've built and scaled businesses over the past 10 years. My mission is to help you uplevel your mindset, get clear on your strategy, and access your intuition to create a business and a life better than you think is possible. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of inspiration and place to go for tools, techniques, and the perspective shift that you need to go out and get what you desire. Let's get started. I am so excited and delighted to introduce you to Amber Lillystrom today. Amber is a transformational branding strategist and business coach. She's an author and a speaker, and I'm here to tell you that she is so much more. This woman is soulful, this woman is a mama, and this woman is a true soul sister. I was so honored and delighted to have her on. She has a really fascinating story about her own awakening, and you will hear more of this in detail, but what I want to share with you is that she was not always soulful or spiritual or, could see the positive sides of things. And this is something that she has trained herself over through both life experience and surrounding herself with mentors and coaches over the last several years. She has grown a 7-figure business in 3.5 years. She holds live events. She holds very transformational and high-level masterminds. She is the host of the Amber Lillystrom podcast, which has over 100,000 monthly downloads, and you are in for a treat today. Please be so kind to tag both of us. We are happy to give you a shout out here, and I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Amber, so excited to have you on here. Welcome.
Heidi, thank you. I'm so honored to be here with you today.
Yes, I've been following you on Instagram, so I feel like I know you. This is the first time we've actually been speaking, so really excited to connect. One of the things that I have really connected and identified with your story is the kind of the waking up through your birth and your just becoming a mother. And I think so many women mompreneurs have, whether it's through their birth or just becoming a mom on the other side. Can you share a little bit about your experience with that and how that really ignited your journey into entrepreneurship?
Yeah. And I love that the timing of this is so perfect because my daughter's birthday and the anniversary, the 6-year anniversary of that, my near-death experience and all that is August 29th. So it's coming up at the time where we're doing this interview. It's really poignant. And it's also very emotional. And so I think I wanted to speak to that before I even share a little bit about the story. It's that, you know, these future versions of us are these iterations we're going through. It's like, we really do get to kind of experience the buildup of what that day was like, you know, in real time, because you know, when your child was born, you know what you were doing before they were born, you know, like I know down to the hour of the day, like, and this is when this was happening. And this is when this, and it's like every year I'm like, when does that, maybe when she's like 25 or 30 or something. I won't, but I think I probably still will, because I'm a very sentimental and, you know, just intuitively, energetically connected person. So anyway, I just want us all to just really revel in that, because I think it's a gift. And I think it's also an opportunity for sort of a check-in with how far we've come and how far we've grown and how much we've evolved. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I imagine that moms who have adult children are listening to this and going, yeah, you know, you still feel that same way, even when they're, you know, in their 30s. So, so 6 years ago, ish, I was in a very uncomfortable place in my life, extremely pregnant. And I think the most important distinction is, my mindset was in a place, Heidi, where I was kind of like I had a positive mindset, but I sort of always expected the other shoe to drop. I was really like overprotecting in a lot of ways. I had still had a lot of anxiety. I was still in my corporate career at that point. I worked in collegiate athletics marketing and branding, and I taught at the university that I was at. I was responsible for significant levels of ticket sales and execution of corporate contracts and all of this. And so it was a big job, and I was going to be the president of all the sport marketing professionals in collegiate athletics in the country. And I had really climbed this ladder in my career. And all the while, you know, I was feeling like something was off, and especially pregnancy, it's like this clarifier. Children coming into the picture in any way, shape, or form is the universal clarifier. And I just knew I can't keep doing it this way. I can't keep up this pace. I can't keep forsaking myself. I can't keep selling myself down the river and just being a yes bot. Mm-hmm. Can't keep doing it this way. And it wasn't anybody's fault. I think it's important to say that. It wasn't like I was a victim and the people at my job were bad or something. It was just, I had evolved and I no longer fit there. And I was realizing that the things that I was into at this point, which was personal development and reading, you know, these books that certainly were not going to be the books that my colleagues were reading, and talking about the things I wanted to talk about, were not really acceptable. Yeah. In that corporate framework, right? It was very masculine. It was also Division I sport, so it was also really geared toward the masculine. And even men's sports, you know, as the primary breadwinners, if you will, in terms of the most ticket sales and all that. And so there's just some things that were just not aligning for me anymore. And on the day of my daughter's birth, I was at this point, it was like I was disconnected. It was like I was numbing myself from the truth. And I'll never forget, and actually my sister-in-law was just here last night. We were laughing about it. And she's an ER nurse, and I was text messaging her at around 7:15 on the morning of my daughter's birth, saying, I feel awful. Like, I feel like I have these awful cramps and I can't figure out what's going on. Now, mind you, it's the day before my due date. And she says, so how far apart are these cramps? And she uses air quotes. And I said, like 5 minutes, kind of, I don't know, just like that. Right. And she said, well, it might be a good idea to call your doctor because you're probably in labor. And it was like this lightning bolt of, oh, what? I never thought I was going to actually have a baby. I was so over being pregnant at that point that I never thought she was going to come out. Anybody?
Yeah. Feel that way before? Totally.
And so I call the doctor, and she says, you need to go straight to the hospital. You do not sound like you're in you know, good shape right now. So do you have someone who can drive you? And I did a quick scan of my neighborhood, and none of the good neighbors were home, only the weird ones. And so I just said yes. And I just got in the car and I drove myself in labor.
Oh my gosh. To the hospital. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I've not heard this part.
Yes. So I drove myself, I waited for the contractions, like I was at stop signs, I was experiencing, and then I would go, I called my mom on the Bluetooth while I was, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm having a baby, I think, like, just come. And she's like, oh my God, she's, get off the phone, why are you calling me while you're, I'm like, because I don't know what's going on.
I need someone to come to the hospital.
It was just like crazy. Ben was at work, he was a police officer at the time. I get there, they admit me, I was already 6 centimeters, and you know, we went on from there. And I will also say that this is the important piece, that the juxtaposition of being kind of like delusional and numb, but also in the same breath, like I couldn't believe that it was progressing so fast, because I had this belief that, you know, I always do things wrong and that things are hard for me. And I just kind of had this like baseline prepare for the worst mentality, hence why I couldn't believe I was in labor, because I had already thought, oh, she's going to be like 2 weeks late. You know, I'm going to be one of those that has to get induced. I had this whole story And to the point that I couldn't even realize that I was actually having a baby in real life, in real time.
Yeah.
And we do that. This is a thing, sisters, that we awfulize and we prepare for impact. And it's because we've been taught to do that, you know, but man, there's a whole different way to live. And so pick up in the story, I pushed for like 4 hours. She was face up. She wasn't coming out. And so we went in for an emergency C-section.
God, Amber, you and I have a very similar story. I had, I actually had a pretty traumatic birth with Harrison.
I find this to be very constant and consistent for so many women. Hence why what you said at the beginning, Heidi, that birth is this, it is this, like, it just pulls you out of any illusions that you have been living in. And I'm so grateful for it. Honestly, it was one of the greatest experiences of my lifetime. It was the most clarifying, truly. And so I'm in there and they administer, I guess a spinal tap, another more epidural, whatever, but they did the whole, you know, don't move thing. And they, then administer that anesthesia. And then they lay me down on the table. And within just a few short minutes, I started to realize that I was having a really hard time breathing and, you know, everything was really pretty cool in there. They had Jack Johnson music on. I was like, oh, this is our wedding song. Like, I'm like, okay, like getting relief. I'm feeling relieved. Like I'm getting the help that I need. I've just been running a marathon over here trying to push this baby out.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get to meet her and it's going to be great. And I noticed that my lung volume just feels like it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And suddenly I noticed that there's a bag valve mask over my face and the nurse's hand is to the right of my face and she's pumping this thing. And I can feel my lungs being inflated, but I'm not doing it. And it was this strange sort of out of body kind of witnessing what was happening, not having control, and recognizing just before I black out that I can't breathe. Mm. And right as I whisper the words to my anesthesiologist, "You're killing me," I blacked out. And I was in this space between motherhood and what I'm slowly realizing is maybe my last breath. I don't know. Mm. So confusing, so scary. At first. And the first thing that I experienced in that space was just this feeling of just massive frustration and even bordering on rage and just this confusion about how could this be happening? You know, I've been dreaming of this day of becoming a mom for my whole life. And how is it even possible that I might not be able to hold my baby? How is it even possible that I'm not going to get to see Ben hold his daughter for the first time? Like, what? Like, how is this happening right now? This can't be real. And what I will also tell you, Heidi, is not only did I experience all of that, but I saw visions of myself, the self that I had seen in my dreams that I had written about in my journal that I was too afraid to say out loud. Mm. I saw the version of me sharing my story in my lifetime, speaking on stages, writing books. Like I saw the clarity of the vision of my life right in front of me. And it was the most helpless feeling because there was a moment of recognition that I might not get to do any of that. And I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted. If you
know prior to that experience what you wanted?
Yes. Yeah. And it was in my journals. It was everywhere. If I hadn't made it, someone would have found it in the journals. You know, it was everywhere. Yeah. But I wouldn't say it out loud. And I was waiting for the perfect invitation, for the perfect pathway to go do that.
Yep.
And guess what, guys?
It wasn't coming.
It doesn't come. It does not exist. And by the grace of God, honestly, what shifted next in that moment was I started to see visions of my family. I saw Ben and I saw him in real time. I saw him in the room that we were just in with the bed gone. He was looking at the camera, trying to get the settings right. He had his little scrubs on, his little hair net and little shoe cover things. And he was there. And then I saw my parents in the waiting room out in the lobby. My mom was pacing back and forth. My dad was also holding his camera, bent over, adjusting the settings. And then I saw myself on the operating room table. Mm-hmm. And I had this massive clarity in that space of just a profound sense of love and appreciation just washed over me. It washed away all the fear. It washed away the frustration. It washed everything away. And all I felt was love. and just gratitude for the people in my life and this sense of peace that just washed over me. And it was this peace that said, you know, no matter what, everything's going to be okay. And this knowing that even if Ani was born, I knew Ani was going to be okay 1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about myself, but I knew that she would be. And I knew that I had picked the right person to be her dad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was just rooted in that space. Mm-hmm. And it was this moment of total and true surrender and just saying, if this is your wish for me. And I was not a person who used the word God or spoke to God before this in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But I started to say, if this is your wish for my life, then I surrender. And I just like gave it up. And I've never felt more relaxed. It was probably one of the most beautiful feelings I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
And it was almost as if a switch had flipped in that exact moment. And suddenly, in that moment of total surrender, I opened my eyes and I was awake and I was back in the operating room as if like nothing happened. And I heard my anesthesiologist standing behind me and he yelled, go, 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 go. And the surgeon was standing on my left hip and she proceeded to begin the cesarean section. And within moments, Ani emerged into the world and she had a full head of hair and she had all of her fingers and toes. And I remember being in complete awe of that, just thinking, I didn't mess that up somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't, and also I didn't do anything. And here she is. Mm-hmm. And Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us and for sharing that level of detail. And it was truly was an awakening of your own spirit and that's connected to a higher power.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just curious to women that may not have that level of like awakening, right? That desire to have the faith and the connection and the surrender that you were given in that moment.
Yeah, I was given.
It looks like you were given that. And I just see so many women. It's like, how do you have that, Heidi? Or like, how do you have, you know, how do you have that level of faith and trust?
Well, you know, my disclaimer is this, Heidi, don't try this at home. And reason being, because I truly believe, and I don't know where I heard this, but I've heard it along the path and I share it often that we are gifted feathers along our path that kind of, you know, make our nose tickle a little bit and we sneeze or we go, oh, you know, and then the next is we get a brick along our path and in the way of something challenging to say, hey, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Mm-hmm. And then the next is that Mack truck moment, those bigger moments. And obviously there's plenty of iterations in between. I had lots of feathers. I had lots of bricks. I had lots of things in between that I wasn't willing to listen to because I had this idea of how I had to do life, which was a very rigid, structured way of looking at it. And this was built upon the foundation of how I was raised. And I wasn't confident enough yet in some of those ways, specifically around faith and hope and outlook, to have a different curriculum, you know, a different narrative. And so I needed a pretty hard awakening. And my hope is that by sharing my story that someone is in a different season that might say, you know what, I don't want to have to wait for that kind of, I'm ready to do this now. And I trust myself enough to go. And and hearing teachings enough from people like us, and obviously like these eternal spiritual, you know, mentors and teachings of over time and space that are all have the same universal truths and principles that, you know, perhaps there's something to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you come home with your daughter. Do you leave your work right away? Or I know it took you 8 months but I didn't know, like, what did those 8 months look like? Just kind of briefly.
Yeah. The first 3.5 were, the first 3.5 months of my entire life that I had stopped sprinting because I was a Division I athlete before becoming an athletics administrator. So, I had never had 3 months of time to not be answering emails, sprinting to go do something, proving myself, achieving.
Yeah.
And so that was its own whole unfurling process. And the beautiful part was I really liked it. Towards the end of it, I was like, I don't want to go back. And now I have this baby and I really don't want to go back. And when I went back, I felt like an alien. I felt like I didn't fit there. I felt like all the things they were talking about that were so important just didn't feel important to me anymore. It was just like, this is just not that important. It's I'm not really that into it. And so I knew, you know, you got to do something about this, Amber, and you've got to figure out what this is going to be now. And you've got to work at this. And so I worked at it and I joined a program the following March, but had been reading books and had been really dialing in with some of my friends who were entrepreneurs who were in the fitness space, because I had been a fitness competitor before pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I loved like all the things they were doing. I loved watching how they blended network marketing in with their companies and their coaching and their, and I was like, I was always taking notes and watching how they were doing things and paying attention to it. And I started to craft my brand around March of 2014. Okay. And I gave my notice on like April 22nd. And I had my first client when I did that. And by the time I left a month later, I had four clients and I had a business and I was doing it. And I was doing that naptime hustle. And I built this thing from scratch.
Did you start the network? Did you start network marketing and your coaching pretty much at the same time? Or what did that look like? Okay.
No, network marketing, I tried with a company that I started with back in 2010. I just couldn't get off the ground. I didn't understand it. I didn't really, you know, the products really weren't for, they were great products, but I just couldn't get behind the company's way of operating. So I let that fizzle out. I built my business. And then I didn't start the network marketing company that I'm partnered with now. I didn't start that until 2016. So that was a later.
After the coaching.
Yes.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So many people, I feel like, do experience the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. I've built a seven-figure coaching business and a successful network marketing business, but nowhere near as successful as my coaching company is. And it's, I love it, but it's not my passion. It's fun. And I'm passionate about the products and I love getting to work with women and coach and all of that, but it's the, my coaching company, my live events company. That's my
I'm
fire.
I'm personally curious, what if the passion in your heart isn't fully in that? Why, and you're doing so well in your coaching, why'd you decide to start that?
Multiple revenue streams, residual income, smart businesswoman. Yeah. And just kind of like, duh. Because I'm using it and I love it. You know, I love the product so much. And so, yeah, so I just love, like, to me, it's always about keeping things simple. Mm-hmm. And also my business partner is my best friend. Mm. And so it's super fun to get to go on trips with her and her family and to earn things together and to do things together and to lead together in the ways that we do. So it's literally like, it just feels like play. It's pretty awesome.
Cool. I have a couple more questions and then we're going to dive into business. So I'm curious about this. I was also a Division I athlete. I dove competitively at UCLA and I always find this like kind of odd thing where it's like, I think so much of what I taught about, you know, being self-disciplined and competitive, it has served me in so many ways in a positive sense. And then it also has been the thing that has kept me in my masculine and the running and the going that I've literally had to unwind.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, it sounds like you have a similar experience of that kind of, you know, both sides of the coin, Division I athlete. And how do you kind of make sense of that in your brain?
Yeah. I think the hardest part for me was learning to push through pain. So, you know, like as an athlete, you learn that pain is good. go to the point of pain, which also then translates into an adulthood and motherhood, adrenal fatigue. And so that was the part that I've had to really unwind and recognize, just really like zoom out and look at, okay, how are the ways this has served me? But here are the ways that it's hurt me. And how do I want to show up in my life and my motherhood? Yes, still as an athlete, still as somebody who uses her body and trains and loves the feeling of that. But where is that threshold? And I think it's just been a deeper place for introspection and another layer to tease out. But it's pretty powerful to use that analogy when I'm working towards something to just say, like, we're just going to sprint this out right now. We're just going to take the ball down to the field and we're going to go do the thing. And I was a soccer player for you guys that are listening. And to have that in my back pocket as like another gear to shift into. And like, also I think the alter ego piece, like that game day mode of like, but now it's like curling my hair and like putting on like booty dress. Like that's my game day uniform now, but it's the same experience of like getting on the field. And I love it. It's like, it feels the same to me.
Okay, let's talk about this because I love what, you know, you've got your Accelerate Live coming up, which we can talk about. I know you do an annual event that had 400 or 450 women in. Yeah. Tell me about, and you even just said like my live event business.
tell me about that and how you've grown that and why it sounds like you even look at yourself as a live event business, maybe even more than like a coaching business. I share.
Yeah, it's transformational coaching and live events. They go together, you know? And so for me, it's always been about live events. I worked in collegiate athletics for 10 years and I produced hundreds and hundreds of live events every year. And so what that looked like was creating fan experiences and honestly manipulating the emotions of the audience to get them behind our team. And so I was the person that was like, put this song on the radio and like doing the pregame intro and like orchestrate it. Literally, I was like whatever that person is called. What is that?
You're like the production. You're like the producer.
Yeah. I was leading the whole thing and creating the, and I'm getting chills just talking about it because it excites me so much. And I learned so much about human emotion, about creating those experiences. And I've gone to numerous, many, many live events and I'm the person who's there and I'm like taking notes on every single thing. I'm like these lights and this music and this and like the timing and when he comes out and how she does this. And I go to concerts and I video the intro of when the artist comes out because I want to capture that experience. And you think about it, people go to live events because they want to be transported, because they want to have a transformational experience, because they want to feel. And that's what I love. And so I create events that make people feel something and make them. And now in this world, like I have the gloves are off. Like I don't have to pretend like through a hockey game. Now it's like, come on, we're going to work on your soul today. You want to talk to your soul?
Yes.
All the way down to your purpose. We're going to like dust that off. We're going to shine it up. We're going to help you get it. And we're going to help you make massive change in your life. And we do that I can do it in an hour, but we do it over the course of 2 days in these events. And, they're life-changing on every single level and they're like so much fun. But of course, there's coaching programs that go along with it and all of my programs include the opportunity to come to live events and to come to retreats and to come to Accelerate Live and to come to Ignite Your Soul Summit. And so it's this package deal because I believe, and I know this, you know, we learn in you know, different ways and multi-sensory experiences are what really drive home our learning and our transformation. And so I just practice what I preach and also as a business owner, I mean, let's speak to it. You know, the burden and the challenge of doing live events is no small feat. You know, this year's Ignite Your Soul Summit, I mean, just about killed me going into it just with the weight of it all, you know, all of it, the details, the financial investment, which is always the biggest part, the hardest part for us to work through, you know, and you just don't know. You just don't know how it's going to go down. You know, you don't know if you're going to sell anything from stage. And it's, again, it's about that faith muscle and it's like going into it and remembering. And, you know, I will say this, the way that I teach is very intuitively guided. I always have a roadmap and I always know where I'm going, but I always give myself the grace to just show up and do it. And so there's a funny moment where one of my mentors was there and she was talking me through like how you're going to do the pitch. And I walked over to the side of the stage and she was helping me with something on the whiteboard. And I said, I'm not going to do any of that. And I can't. And I so appreciate this, but I cannot do, this is causing me stress right now. Yeah. I just need to go out there and do what I need to do. And I went out and I got this like message and this clarity of, you need to tell your birth story and you need to like go deeper in the way you tell it than you've ever done it before. And I physically told the story and I was like, you know, I was in it. People were like on the edge of their seat. And I led with that because that's what matters. You know, like that story shows you. I went from in a corporate job, almost dying to now building this business to 7 figures with 0 subscribers in all. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just found my way to do it. And I've created a process that is unique to what my journey has looked like, but it's consistent to what so many women are needing. And I've filled a lot of gaps of the things that weren't there along the way for me in the way that I've crafted my stuff. And so, so live events are my most favorite thing to do. And of course, coaching. I love coaching and being in the portal with people.
So you do 2 a year, is that right? Two main live events?
No, 5. Yeah. Okay. So I did 5 this year, but so I have a higher level inner circle mastermind. And so 2 retreats for those guys. And then I did 2 accelerator mastermind retreats. This one that's coming up in September is called Accelerate Live. And this is kind of like a hybrid. It's sort of like a mastermind retreat meets Ignite Your Soul Summit.
Yes.
So I'm super pumped about that. And then of course, Ignite Your Soul Summit is the big, you know, I would call it like, a women's UPW. Like it's like a, that style event. That's what that one is. Yeah.
Yep. Beautiful. So let's talk about quote unquote selling from the stage. I'm a firm believer that the sales process is connecting with someone and having them know, like, and trust you. And I talk so much to my clients around people know, like, and trust you so much easier in person than they do in online, right? It's just simple.
Right.
Tell me about whether it's strategies or heartfelt, you know, techniques, whatever it feels like for you, for really capturing those emotions and being able to turn people that already know, like, and trust you into paying clients from stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my friend Allison Bird talks about, you know, sales is a language of clarity. But before that, there's emotion, right? It's connecting to their emotions and having a beautiful blend of both. And acknowledging that, you know, in order for women especially to feel safe enough to take action, they have to know that the boxes are ticked. It's not super common. You know, it's like you will have the women who are like, let's go, but that's the minority. Mm-hmm. And I find in my audience, at least, there's a large percentage that really need a lot of handholding and a lot of support and a lot of like, we're going to do this, you know? And so it's really standing in that. And I think also the other thing that's really important, Heidi, is being the physical and the personal embodiment of the vision that your clients have for their life and standing in the truth of that. And so if you leave details out about your success and you leave details out about your process and you leave details out about what your ascension has looked like, then you're actually leaving out really important parts of the story that they need to hear so they can see, oh, she understands what it feels like to be in the corporate job, sitting at the desk and listening to the podcast on the sly when the boss is like not nearby, and pausing them when someone comes in and like taking notes and not wanting to get out of the car because you're like listening to this amazing interview. And so I speak to those things directly that are the experiences that my ideal clients are having in their daily life because I had them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super important. And I think the other piece is stop putting yourself in the way of not only your results, but of their sort of like their decision-making process. Like you have got to be completely unattached.
Yeah.
You have got to go in there and just offer the best thing you have and stand in the confidence of that. And then you got to take a step back and let all of the magic do its work. I have this equation that I like to remind my clients of all the time. It's that desire plus belief equals action. That X factor of belief is always going to dictate what action they take. And so my job is to build belief. My job is to help them get bigger belief in themselves in order for them to take action. And part of that action is joining a program because for every single one of us, if I think about everything I've ever achieved, I had great mentors. I had great coaches. I did not get there by myself. I was not a Division I athlete by my onesie. I had amazing coaches along the way who believed in me, who helped me to believe in myself so that I could take the action to get to that next level.
Yeah. So someone's listening to this and they're like, Amber, that's awesome. You know, like you've got this magic, you've got all of this events, you know, experience behind you. What if I'm just like gathering a group of 10 to 15 women for a day of wellness or for a to let them have an experience, and I'm here to serve and I'm here to do my thing, but how do I get them to like then become a paying client after paying their $30 or this free live event?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a couple things. One, that sounds amazing. And I think it's great. Sign us up. Right. The second piece is, understanding where your client is and understanding in your market, what does an investment look like? I will tell you this. So I live in New Hampshire, on the seacoast of New Hampshire, about an hour north of Boston. And I'm a New Englander. And my audience, my local people, I have more objections from my local people in investing in coaching programs than I do people all over the whole entire globe.
Yeah.
I know this about them. I know what their ticket price point needs to be. and so I think just know your people. R&D, right? You gotta have the research. You gotta have those insights. And remember, everything is just feedback and it's going to help you to tweak things. And so perhaps you do a pitch and your goal is, I want to get one one-to-one client out of this, right? Mm-hmm. One-to-one client, or we had such a great group experience. I want to do like an ongoing group coaching program. Mm-hmm. What does that investment look like? Maybe it's $300 for those first 6 weeks. That might sound so small and so like frustrating. But again, remember, you're learning when you do this. You know, you're learning with every single thing. Like my first client, I learned, like there's so much value. I have learned.
Yes.
And so your price is not static, friend. It is going to get to go up, but let's just get paid first. Like let's become professionals, because the definition of a professional is somebody who's paid for their gifts and for their work. So let's be a pro and then we'll get even better at it. And then our rates get to go up. And my rates, just people are like, what was your rate ascension like when you first launched? I was like, I raised my prices. It was May. Then I raised them in August. Then I raised them in December. Mm-hmm. Then I raised them in January. And of that first like year, because mm-hmm. I realized like, I'm putting in a lot of time and there's a demand here. And nap time's only 2 hours. Like if people want to work with me, this is what we got to work with here. Yeah. And I was able to increase my prices. And of course, the other most important thing is every time, Heidi, I was adding in more value. I always added in more value. I always added in another, I created this other thing, or this is how it's going to look, or we're going to do this workshop, or it's always adding more value to it. So it's not just perceived value.
It doesn't necessarily mean like always more time.
No.
Value does not mean
longer sessions.
More and more.
No, it's just right. Little nuanced things. It's like, you've already created this program over here. Of course. This course over here, make that an add-on. Yes. And that is going to help you feel good about increasing your price too.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think if we don't understand why our prices kind of are the way they are, if we don't have a structured sort of build out around that, that can get really confusing. And you're like out to sea and you're like, wait, what is my hourly? How do I back this out? What do I charge? You know? And I really want us to feel rooted. I think this is important for us, right? This is like chakra talk. Girls, we have to feel rooted and safe, especially as it relates to finances. Mm-hmm. And we have to feel like we're in integrity. It's just important things. And so a business person knows these are the line items that are included in all the things that I'm doing. And here's kind of what that value is of that. So you can demonstrate that for you're not going to have to put that on your web, but you need to know that. I think it's really important part of the business.
Beautiful. What are your internal daily practices or outwardly with coaches or mentors or Matt, like what do you do to invest in yourself, to keep yourself in this state, to keep going on this path of entrepreneurship, which is so challenging.
Yeah, it's no joke. Oh Lord, 2019 has been a year. So anybody else, I know it's 2019 has been a funny year, but it's been a good one. It's called up-leveling, right? So I think that maybe, I have a spiritual mentor. I have a business coach and, a team that is supporting me and helping me work on some inner stuff in my business. Like we're doing some deeper inquiry and R&D and testing things out, which has been really, really trying and also really, informing and helpful, you know, this summer. So we committed ourselves to that. I'm someone that if you tell me to do something, I will definitely try to do the complete opposite or not do it at all, because I just don't like being told what to do. So I'm an awesome client for people to have.
I did not think you were going to say that. I didn't be like, yeah. I'll just do it. Like the athlete mind, like just tell me what to do and do it. You're like,
I have to spin it my way. It's like as a child, I used to say to my parents, they would say, you know, tell me, and I'd say, don't tell me mommy, don't tell me daddy. So it's been that way forever. I'm just like a little bit rebellious around that. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I like it. You know, it's like, because I have this level of discernment and I have a really, really like attuned BS meter. And if I am not, I'm not going to do something if I don't feel like it's in integrity with my soul, like with me, with what my truth, you know? And, I won't. And I think that's because, you know, I had a pretty huge experience as a child that helped me to get to this place of really knowing myself early and really knowing myself young. And so I had a deeper understanding than probably most kids have because of the trauma that I endured and what I survived as a really young child. And so I think that's probably why that I still am so like, let me just check on that. But I exercise how I want to exercise. Right now I'm training for a half marathon and I'm running and I play soccer still. Yeah. And, you know, and I let myself live, Heidi. I read when I want to read. I sleep in when I want to sleep in. I get up early when I want to. Like, there are no rules over here. It's just what is going to help me feel the most aligned, the most vibrant, the most excited, the most rejuvenated. That's it. I just trust myself and I live my life according to that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Tell us a little bit more about Accelerate Live and just in general, how we can get to know you more.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So Accelerate Live, you guys, is a 2-day event. I'm really calling it like a 48-hour workshop because I know we got mamas listening and it is so easy for us to say, oh, I can't do that. 2 days is a lot of time. I'm not going to commit myself to that. And I just want to say, girlfriend, no one's going to do it for you. Mm. Sorry. You have to get on the field and do the sprints yourself if you want to play. And with your business, like you're talking to two sisters who've had to build their businesses from the ground up. Nobody did that for us. We had to figure out how to do that. And guess what? Every day we still have to do that. Mm-hmm. So that includes getting yourself in rooms. That includes sitting your butt down and taking a ton of what I like to call $1 million notes, because mm-hmm. that's what those notes translate into. And you also get to meet people who become, you know, like the speakers that I have speaking at this event. I've met them all, one online, the others I've met all at live events. I've met them all at in-person experiences and I know them. I trust them. And I said, here, can you come share the stage with me? Mm. Right? That's how it happens. You build relationships with people, real life relationships. Yeah. And you know, yeah. your future best friend could be sitting in that room. So
yes.
September 26th and 27th,
cool.
It is in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So an hour north of Boston. And we would love to see you guys there. It's going to be amazing. And I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Where do people stay when they come to your workshops?
Hotels. It's right in town in Portsmouth. Okay. It's a beautiful little city. So yeah, there's lots of hotels, Airbnbs, the whole mix. People are funny. I'm like, New Hampshire's really a sophisticated, it's just like, it's right on the ocean. It's right on the harbor. It's beautiful. It's a vacation destination for people. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. It's my favorite in the world. So that's why I love doing events.
Is that like the leaves are changing and
just starting. Okay. It'll be still pretty warm. It'll be pretty beautiful. So come on down, guys. Come to Portsmouth.
Amazing. And I'm interested. It sounds wonderful. We actually have family that live in Maine. So they're always perfect. Like, get out there. They live right outside of Portland, Maine. So, sometimes when we go, we fly into New Hampshire.
Yay.
This was so fun and so lovely getting to know you. Website, Instagram.
Yeah. Yep. So amberlishram.com. And you guys, you can get tickets there. I'm on Instagram too. Amber Lishram. I love to do stories, as Heidi said. And I would love to connect with you guys there. So if you listen to this, please share it. Please tag us and we will shout you out and share it and just say thank you. So I appreciate you guys. And Heidi, thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is great. Thanks.